heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Well, Merry Christmas and welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley with you again, and I hope that the joy and peace of our Lord is with you throughout this wonderful time of year. As this year, the airing of our show comes right at the beginning of our Christmas celebrations, I thought I would invite you to share in one of my family's long-held Christmas traditions, which is the reading of the Christmas story. So here it is from the Gospel according to St. Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph, too, went up from Galilee to the town, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who is with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Thanks for indulging me in this Christmas tradition, and thank you for being part of the Practicing Catholic family. Got a great show in store for us today, and so I think we should just get right to it. First up, Archbishop Hebda is back with us with a special Christmas interview. We'll hear his take on the appointment of Father Joseph Williams as the new auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese and some of his favorite Christmas traditions as well. After His Excellency, it's on to the music of Christmas. Both Nick Chalmers and Luke Spihar are with us to share some of their favorite Christmas songs and what Christmas music means to them. That's what's coming up on the show today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, offering it over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Please pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, if you haven't yet heard the news, the Holy Father appointed Father Joseph Williams as auxiliary bishop to the Archdiocese. His ordination will happen January 25th, the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul, and we had the chance to chat with Bishop-elect last weekend. Visit PracticingCatholicShow.com to listen to the full interview. Joining us this week, we're blessed to have Archbishop Hebda join us for this special Christmas edition of Practicing Catholic, where we'll hear more about Bishop-elect Williams' appointment and also a bit about the Archbishop's favorite Christmas traditions. Who knows? Maybe you'll even find a new tradition to implement into your family. Archbishop Hebda, welcome to the program. We are so grateful to have you join us yet again.
Thank you, Patrick. Great to be with you.
And thank you. Well, lots has happened since our last conversation. We had the privilege, as I've just said, of chatting with Bishop-elect Williams last weekend. What a blessing to have gotten to know him a little bit. What are your initial thoughts, or what were your initial thoughts and feelings once you learned of Father Williams' appointment?
Well, I just feel so blessed that the Archdiocese will benefit from Bishop-elect Williams' gifts, which are extensive. I mean, he's incredibly intelligent. He has such great love for the church, for Christ. He's a man of great discernment. I've had the opportunity to admire him and his work at St. Stephen's, but also now at Holy Rosary, but also from his work as Vicar for Latino Ministry. So he's already been an important part of our archdiocesan efforts. And so knowing those great gifts that he has, I was just over the moon thrilled when I learned that the Holy Father had named him. It gave me one more reason to love Pope Francis, that he would have chosen somebody so blessed. And I really do think it's an affirmation for all of the priests in the Archdiocese and for the Archdiocese that together they've produced a priest like Father Joseph Williams. And, you know, he has an amazing family. I always love talking to his parents and to his siblings as well. You know that he's going to bring that web of relationships into his ministry always, but that being rooted in family and the dynamics there. He's just such a great brother as a priest, and I know he's going to be a great brother as an auxiliary bishop. So I'm really excited. And obviously when it had been announced that Bishop Cousins would be going to Crookston, I was concerned. I've enjoyed working with him so much, and he did so much here in the Archdiocese, and particularly was able to help me in so many areas where I might not have all of the gifts. And one of them had to do with Latino ministry. I love Latino ministry. My Spanish, sadly, always sounds Italian after all my years in Italy. So it's nice to that the Holy Father has chosen as our next auxiliary someone who not only has a heart for Latino ministry and for immigrants and refugees, but also has those incredible language skills. Father Joseph is amazing. I've always enjoyed watching him interact with his Spanish-speaking parishioners, and his sense of evangelization and the way he's inspired his parishioners as well to engage in that work is really noteworthy. So I'm delighted.
So you mentioned Bishop Cousins' departure, and it wasn't very long after Bishop Cousins was installed as bishop in Crookston that at least and the Archdiocese learned of the appointment of Bishop-elect Williams. Was it surprising to you that it was that quick?
Well, I was really happy that it happened that way.
And okay.
I know it always takes a long time for there to be the appointment of an auxiliary bishop. So I trust that the Holy See had been working on this for a long time. Yeah. And it's just a beautiful way in which the Holy Father also shows us where the Holy Spirit seems to be leading our local church, because in the choice of an auxiliary bishop, he also, each auxiliary bishop would have his own set of gifts. And basically, when we're given an auxiliary bishop, it gives us an area, I think, for us to move in as an archdiocese. So when I think particularly about Bishop-elect Williams' strong background in evangelization, I know that that's going to have to be part of what we're doing moving forward. And I had the benefit just a few weeks back of participating in one of the Synod small group sessions that Bishop-elect was sponsoring for both Holy Rosary and St. Stephen. So it was a time for both parishes to be involved. And it was interesting to see the way in which those communities participated. But I know that work of evangelization that's at the heart of what we're doing at the Synod is right in the wheelhouse for Bishop-elect Williams. So I'm sure that the Lord's going to use his gifts in that area, but also really give us an opportunity to move even further in that direction and to explore how it is that we can be that evangelizing church that the Lord wants.
Right. And that's one of the things we did reflect upon with Bishop-elect Williams, how well it's suited, he seems, especially for some of the focus areas of the Synod and how the Synod is developing over the course of these last years and where it's headed as well. So that's a tremendous gift. Maybe share a little bit about the role of an auxiliary bishop, because sometimes that's a little confusing to some of us who maybe this is something new, or, well, it's not new to us here in our local church, I suppose, but what is the role of an auxiliary bishop?
Well, the role of the auxiliary bishop is to assist the diocesan bishop or archbishop in the tasks that have been entrusted to him. And so the auxiliary bishop and the bishop are supposed to work as true partners. There should be real respect there based on the commonality of the ordination that we will have both received. It's important for us to be able to be of one mind in moving forward. You know, one of the things that the laws of the church generally suggest is that the auxiliary bishop would also be the vicar general. And a vicar general is someone that not only is given certain capacities, capabilities, but he's also supposed to be somebody who's really an alter ego of the bishop, so that you share a common vision. So I'm looking forward to having that opportunity to really share even more deeply with Bishop-elect, and to have that opportunity to together forge that common vision that will give security to our local church. But he's very much, the auxiliary bishop is intended to be an extension of the bishop. So to be able to be present in those moments, and Bishop Cousins did that so extremely well. Those times where I couldn't be present, and he was so present in our schools, so many of our organizations, so many of our boards, and I would expect Bishop-elect Williams to be able to do that with the same sense of commitment. And I'm already really excited about what he's going to bring to this ministry.
You talk about being present. I did warn him, even during the context of the interview, that part of his role as auxiliary bishop will be to have monthly segments here on Practicing Catholic. And I told him we're looking forward to having him present here as well. Right.
Good. He's magnificent.
Yeah, yeah. He gave a great interview, and I do look forward to future conversations with him. Well, with the appointment of new bishop, it seems providential that it's happening right here at the beginning of the liturgical year and the new beginnings that Christmas and the new calendar year bring as well. But let's turn our attention to upcoming the Christmas season that's up and coming here. With all of the great feasts and all of the great observations that we do as a church in this celebratory time of year, I'm just going back to, I think, a conversation we've had already, but share with us again some of your favorite Christmas traditions or any new things that you plan on doing this year that maybe you haven't been able to do in recent years.
Yes. So Christmas was always a really important time in my family, I think as it is in most Catholic families. And we certainly had, as I've shared with you before, my mother's family was Irish, my father's family was Polish. And so our Christmas was a little bit of a blending of both of those traditions, making us very proud both ways. Obviously, a good Christmas was always preceded by a good Advent. And so as a child, you know, the Advent calendar was so important to us, and we would always plant St. Lucy's wheat on her feast day and watch that grow in time for Christmas. Always would celebrate St. Nicholas Day, which was a great source of anticipation for a young child waiting for Christmas. But then as would always make sure that we really entered into that spirit of Advent. So we would always have an Advent wreath at our table. The candles never seemed to last as long as they did in church. We would have some near disasters always, but it was still part of our life. And then, you know, especially in the Polish tradition, the Christmas Eve celebration was particularly important. And so whether it be the foods that we ate or just the solemnity of gathering, and, you know, one of the beautiful Eastern European traditions is the sharing of the opłatki, those wafers. But it was an opportunity to both be reconciled, not that we needed that so much in my immediate family, but to be reconciled and then to wish the best for the other. And that was, as we would share the opłatek, that would be always the message as we wished the other person the best for Christmas and the New Year, and that we also wanted to be at one with them. So any kind of reconciliation that was necessary. So we would always have the vigil meal, and which was great. And, you know, some of the foods are very labor intensive. So even though my mother was Irish, she made the most incredible pierogi. So, nice. You know, that was a lot of work. And every year she would worry, are these going to be good enough? And they were always terrific. But she also made, from her own tradition too, some wonderful bread. So we would always have Christmas bread that was magnificent. And just the whole meal was great. And then we would usually go out for a ride to look at Christmas lights. And especially when I was a child, many of the areas would put out luminaria, it was always a little bit risky in Pittsburgh with the winds that were there, but you had all of these paper sacks that were out there filled with sand and candles. But it was beautiful in that my mother would always remind us that it was to welcome the Christ child. You know, the Irish tradition is to always put a candle in the window to welcome the Christ child, and that the luminaria in the Latino context in the Southwest was a way of doing much the same. So we would always do that and then come back and share some gifts among the family, and then prepare for midnight mass. And I think I can't remember if I was able to serve midnight mass in fourth grade, but certainly from fifth grade on, that was always a big deal to be able to be present. And the mass was magnificent. The music was spectacular. We were in a large parish. I bet you there would have been 40 altar servers. And it was fun going from the, not that I ever grew all that much, Patrick, but as I aged, right? So different roles. And when you were a young fourth or fifth grader, you just had to look pretty. And you didn't have to do any work, just didn't make mistakes. But then progressively, you know, going all the way up through high school, getting more responsibilities, but really loving that Christmas liturgy. And so for us, that was great. And then Christmas morning would welcome people to our home. And then it was, once again, kind of like with an Eastern European ham and wonderful horseradish. And my mother would bribe us to eat this concoction of beets mixed with horseradish. And we would never let her know that we actually liked it, because then we wouldn't get the bribe. But,
right.
But one of the nice traditions that my mom had introduced when I was very little is that we would be asked to give some gift to the Christ child. So something that we got out of our stocking or something that we had received, we would be asked to take to the manger scene in our parish, and physically to leave that there as a gift for the Christ child, hoping that the pastor would give it to somebody in need. Huh? But it was a nice way of reminding us of the giving part of it, keeping Christ at the center. For that, I will always be grateful. So I always, I'm delighted that we have midnight mass still at the cathedral here in St. Paul, where I'll have the chance to celebrate that. But every time I think back to those memories from my home parish, and then the many parishes that I served as a priest, I had for a few years, I was at a merged parish on the south side of Pittsburgh, where the previous parishes had been strongly ethnic, and so we had tried to maintain those customs. And so, whether it be at the Slovak parish or the the Polish parish, listening to the carols, you know, the Polish kalendi, the Christmas carols are just spectacular. There's a lullaby to baby Jesus that is my very favorite. And so I love going to either St. Casimir's here. I'll try to sneak in before they have their 10 o'clock mass, or at Holy Cross at some point, just to listen to those Christmas carols that were so important to us. I remember my grandparents were from Poland, and my grandfather had died before I was born. My grandmother was still there, but even though we didn't learn much in the way of language, we had to learn the Polish Christmas carols. And I remember to have to, my father would write them out phonetically so that we'd be able to memorize them. That was a big deal to be able to sing one of the Polish carols for the first time.
Well, I won't ask you to sing.
Quite nice.
I won't ask you to sing here on the show, but I'm grateful for that. Actually, you've set up the rest of the show very nicely, Archbishop, as we're going to be continuing to talk about favorite Christmas songs and that sort of thing. But believe it or not, we've reached the end of our time already. So I'm wondering if you would give us your blessing and any one word of encouragement and hope for our listeners as we enter into this Christmas season.
Yes, Patrick, well, be assured of my prayers. We've been through a difficult year, but we know that's the great focus of Christmas, is that Jesus is Emmanuel, God is with us. So in the midst of the struggles that we have, that Jesus is always there in our midst. And when we keep our eyes fixed on him, as did Mary and Joseph, that we have that the hope of being led forward as well. So that's the great blessing of Christmas. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, descend upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Yeah, very good. Archbishop, always a pleasure. Blessed Christmas to you too. Thank you for your leadership, and God bless you in the coming year.
Thank you for your prayers. Thanks.
All right. Well, it's always good to hear from Archbishop Hebda, isn't it? Yeah, it certainly is. Well, after that wonderful interview, we are going to turn our attention to the music. So stay with us on the other side of this quick timeout. It's time for some Christmas music indeed. We have some great tunes and commentary lined up, so stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Thank you so much for all that you do for all of us. And you touch all of our lives in so many ways, and probably ways you don't realize. I've been a listener for over 10 years, and it's amazing.
Powered by you, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
What do you think the greatest act of love that we could do right now would be? I think it is to help other people know Jesus Christ. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's simple. You know, you invite people, you talk about your faith, you share things. You don't have to do it perfectly. And then the other thing you need to do is you need to support organizations who are doing good work, like Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123.
Joy to the world, Christmas time is here, and I have finally broken my fast on listening to Christmas music. Well, joining me today to provide some insight on Christmas music and how it enhances our appreciation for the season is Nick Chalmers. Nick serves as director of choirs at Chesterton Academy in Hopkins and as director of music at Annunciation Church in Minneapolis. He's also the artistic director of the Mirandola Ensemble, a Minneapolis-based professional choral ensemble. Nick, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Patrick.
Yep, great to have you with us as always. Kate, catch us up on what you've been doing recently, Nick.
Yeah, it's been a really busy performance season. You know, December is always that way for choral music, it seems. But I feel like, based on not having much the last year or two because of the pandemic, people have kind of been trying to make up for lost time. So a few weeks ago, I was privileged to sing the role of evangelist for Bach's Christmas Oratorio with Bach Society of Minnesota and with Vocal Essence. And we performed that at the Basilica, which is a fantastic place to sing. And then the next weekend, my group, the Mirandola Ensemble, had a Christmas concert. Two, actually. We were celebrating the release of our newest CD, The Infant King, which is a Christmas disc. And then this last weekend, I sang three performances of a lesser-known piece by Handel called Messiah. I don't know if you know that one, but
I've heard of it. Yeah. Sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah. And I don't mean to be facetious, but in truth, I actually haven't performed it that much. I've heard it and done the excerpts of it, but to do almost all of it in its entirety was a kind of a rare treat for me. So that was this last weekend. So lots of choral music.
Now, my understanding was that Handel actually wrote the Messiah originally for Easter, not for Christmas. Any thoughts on that? Or is that contentious?
No, that is correct. You know, it's split into parts, and what you most commonly hear is part one, which is the Christmas story. But some of my favorite moments are the Passion and the Easter stories, which are in parts two and three, and some of the most heart-wrenching music. So I would encourage people that are loosely fans of the Messiah to, if they haven't, to explore the later portions of it, because they're not oft performed, or not as much at least, and they're exquisite.
Wonderful. Well, we are focusing in on favorite Christmas tunes and that sort of thing. And we could play, I suppose, the bulk of the Messiah, but that would take us not only beyond the scope of our show, but well into whatever follows our show here on Relevant Radio. So I'm going to just steer us more towards your favorite Christmas songs. I understand you have a couple to share with us. Is that right?
That's true. Yes, two exactly.
but it was hard to select, is my understanding. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the joke is that I have two, and I had about 30 runner-ups. They're both familiar. Well, one of them is very familiar, I think, and the other one maybe not as much. And so that was kind of the intention too.
Okay. Well, why don't you kick us off by telling us about the familiar one?
Sure. So I'm assuming you're talking about Away in a Manger for the familiar one. That's the one I was talking about. So, you know, growing up, I was familiar mostly with the kind of more widely known melody for this text. Away in a manger, no crib, which most people are familiar with. And then slightly less well known is the Away in a manger, no crib. And that's actually this one. You know, I find them to both be beautiful. The recording we're going to listen to today of that second Away in a Manger is actually an arrangement by Matthew Culleton, who is a local composer and conductor here in the Twin Cities. And I like it when there is a kind of a new fresh take or fresh arrangement on some of these more familiar tunes. So that's kind of a special thing for me. And then this actual recording is my group, the Mirandol Ensemble. So there's lots of connections.
Very good. All right. Well, I believe Paul has this all queued up. So let's take a listen to Away in a Manger as recorded by the Mirandol Ensemble.
Thank you.
Wonderful, beautiful. Yeah, very nice, Nick. So was it inspiring to record this as well? I mean, this is a well-known, child's like Christmas tune. And did you encounter the piece in a new and different way as you were making this recording?
Yeah, and I think it's a really clever arrangement, actually. You have the solo voice at the beginning, just a simple melody, and there's a real simplicity to the song. And so I think that's a wonderful way to kind of set it off. And then the second verse, very tenderly sung, three voices beneath the soprano voice, ooing in harmony. And then the last verse, all the voices coming in together on text. The three verses of this always strike me because the first verse is just sort of setting the scene of the nativity and the cradle, and then the cattle lowing. And so it's just sort of setting the scene of this child. And then the third verse, it changes perspective, and we are sort of pleading, "Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay." And so we're the children, sort of the children of God in the third verse. And I'm always just struck by just how tender the text is and how the music supports that.
Wonderful. All right, so now let's talk about the one that may be a little bit less familiar to some of our listeners.
Yes, this is the Sussex Carol. If you're a fan like I am of the King's College Christmas Eve broadcast, you get up at 9 in the morning every Christmas Eve to listen to live 3 p.m. London time, you've heard this, or you've heard music like this. It's very festive. It's a little bit of a confusing history as to who wrote it and when. It is said that Luke Wadding wrote the words, and this was back in the 1600s. And then a fairly well-known composer, Ralph Vaughan Williams, discovered it, and the melody and the text both, and wrote it down. So this is, you know, early in the 1900s, and that's kind of when it got famous. And the arrangement today that we'll hear is actually his arrangement of it, sung by King's College.
All right, so here's Sussex Carol as sung by King's College, Cambridge. Let's take a listen to that. Fascinating. How is it that this carol isn't even more well known in the American world?
Oh, it's a good question. I mean, I think it should be. It's dancey and sort of active. It's rhythmically vital, and I think that it can be viewed as sort of more of a performative piece than something that is sort of a carol that people would sing along with. But I couldn't really say. I think it's sort of affiliated with the Anglican tradition, which is, you know, it's not something we have obviously as much in this country. But I think that it's a piece that, you know, choirs in America certainly have begun to sing more and more, and one that I hope becomes more familiar, but also one that I have sort of intentionally picked, like I said, to make it maybe a little bit more popular to at least to your listening audience.
Yeah, that's right. We are all about that. We are forwarding new and exciting Christmas music here, which is not actually all that new. Right. When did you say the Sussex Carol came together? When was that written, Nick? Do you know?
Vaughan Williams sort of wrote it down, it is said, in I think 1919 or something like that, early 20th century. And like I said, the words date back to, it is said, the middle of the 17th century, I think. Okay. So, but it's not a clear-cut date that, as far as I know, when this was first written by so-and-so in this spot.
Right.
Sort of passed on, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. So, Away in a Manger and Sussex Carol, thank you for sharing those two. And Nick, before we let you go here, how can people stay in touch with you and what you're up to, or specifically, how might people find out more about the Mirandola Ensemble?
MirandolaEnsemble.org. We're online. So, and if you are, you know, late to the game, getting stocking stuffers or Christmas gifts, I would encourage you. We have our Christmas recording, as I mentioned, is available for sale. It's really quite lovely. So keep up with me that way. I have to do a plug also for the Chesterton Academy choirs. We have a concert on January 7th at 7 p.m. In Hopkins at St. Gabriel's Church. And, you know, we've always done Advent concerts, and this year we're actually doing a Christmas concert during Christmastide, the day after Epiphany proper. So free concert, come out and hear some beautiful, beautiful music by really talented high school singers.
That's right. And since, and let me just underscore that, yes, if you were like me and trying to hold off on the Christmas music until Christmas Day comes, then fill your Christmas season with Christmas music with the Mirandola Ensemble and Chesterton Academy Choirs. Nick Chalmers, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining us again today here on Practicing Catholic. God bless you.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. Wow. I mean, great start to our music feature, but we have yet more Christmas music on deck in just a moment right after this break. This time, we'll feature another local artist, guy you might have heard of, named Luke Spehar. He will be with us in just a moment. You won't want to miss it. Stay with us.
Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio.
I rely on your show daily. I want you to know really, really appreciate it. Well,
dear.
It helps me a lot.
Father Simon Says.
Have a question?
I know Catholics don't believe about the rapture, but what do we believe about the end times?
We believe in the parousia.
Father Simon Says.
What I like about your explanations is it gives me great reason to go back and listen to the podcast three or four times to really, really understand it.
It helps.
So, I don't know, concentrated. And I need
it's, yes, rather, I talk fast, yes.
Oh, it's wonderful stuff.
The Reverend Know-It-All, Father Richard Simon.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, good. Father.
What can I do for you?
God bless you, and you make me laugh all the time.
If you don't laugh, you cry.
Father Simon Says.
Enough with the kvetching.
Father Simon Says, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Talk to you tomorrow. I am off like a cheap toupee.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthoum, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and wishing you the merriest of Christmases. There's so much beauty surrounding us here at Christmas time, from the decorations to the music. There's just something for everyone. Well, today we're featuring Christmas music on today's episode, and joining us now is another local artist, Luke Spehar, local musician and recording artist. Luke, welcome back to the program.
So good to be with you guys again. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, it's a joyful time of year. Now, I've just heard that you had a recent Advent and Christmas concert series with Open Window Theater just last Sunday, I believe, and have been doing them now, these types of concerts, for about 7 years. What inspired you to start doing Advent and Christmas concerts, Luke?
Well, the short answer is my wife. My wife is a Christmas... She's a Christmas fiend. She just loves the Christmas season and Advent season. And a few years ago, this was our seventh annual Christmas concert. Thanks be to God. It's amazing that it's been able to go for that long. And the idea kind of just came out of coming to this end of the year and wanting to do something to just really celebrate a year of music. And my wife just mentioned, hey, what if we did a Christmas concert that, pulled in fun kind of even secular kind of Christmas songs that everyone can sing along with, but also kind of regrounded in the deeper meaning of Christmas, which is, of course, is Christ coming. And so it's kind of a fun blend of Christmas kind of Advent meditations paired with some really fun Christmas music for everyone to kind of sing along with. And then this year was the first year I offered my Advent reflection concert, which I typically do as a parish mission concert, but I offered it to the public at Open Window Theater. And that's just a very Christ-centered, just Advent meditations of the actual season of Advent, and it was a wonderful evening.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I do commend you too for incorporating it into the Advent season and really focusing in on that. I think there's so much good that can and should be done around this time of the year in terms of getting the word out about why we celebrate Christmas to begin with. And so, grateful for that, and grateful that you have used your musical talents to continue to help people encounter the Lord. Just very grateful for that. Now, we just spoke with Nick Chalmers, who shared with us a couple of his favorite Christmas tunes. And we want to take a listen to yours, but before that, I want to ask you too. Was it difficult for you to select just a tune to share with us today?
It was. Yeah, it was really interesting. I started kind of sorting through kind of my vault of favorite Christmas songs, and I was like, I don't even know where to start here. So
right.
I had to go with one of the only ones that I've recorded for the Christmas season, and that's why that's what I. Put forth, O Holy Night. But yeah, it was. There's so many gems. So so it was a difficult decision.
Yeah, and that's just it, is that there's so many good ones. There's so many good ones. And sometimes people will fault me. I tend to put off my listening to Christmas music until the Christmas season actually arrives. Mm-hmm. The criticisms that I hear from people, amongst others, are that, there's just so many. How do you fit them all in, even if you've got, 12 days or however many days that you're listening to Christmas music? And I have to admit, that's kind of a good point, because there are so many good Christmas tunes. And, of course, you want to listen to them more than just once. But you have settled in on, I think, a favorite of many people as I ask them what their favorite songs are. Oh, Holy Night. What's special about this song for you?
Well, it was interesting, because when I was kind of thinking about what songs I might record for a Christmas song, again, my wife being she had about 50 suggestions for me to record for my first like Christmas song. One of the things that I love about this song, and in general, the Advent season, is it just centers you so. So kind of precisely on the mystery of the incarnation and just the wonder of it, and the lyrics of this song for me were the selling point. I mean, it really captures so much of the Christian mystery and faith. I even think of, some of the first lyrics here, long lay the world. Mm-hmm. And sin and error pining, mm-hmm. pining, so thirsty for help till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. I mean, in some ways that it just summarizes is so eloquently like the human condition and the need for our Lord and Christmas morning. And then there's just other lyrics throughout the song that just really caught my attention in such a unique way. So it felt right that it would be kind of my first, first stab at Christmas recording.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's take a listen to it. So here is O Holy Night, as recorded by our guest today, Luke Spihar.
Stars are brightly shining. dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees,
that's just an amazing, amazing arrangement and amazing performance of O Holy Night. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. You know, one of the things that grabs me about the song as I'm listening to it again is just how well the lyrics communicate the hope that was all contained in the tiny body of infant Jesus and what that means. And another thing I'll tell you, it has never struck me before, but just listening to this arrangement, to this performance right now, you know, we do talk about that. You know, God now has a face, and how Mary's DNA and Mary's bloodline runs through God Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. I had not thought about it before, but God has a heartbeat. This is the first time, and to hear that in the song, the thump thump of the song, just beautiful, Luke. Thank you so much. Any comments on the inspiration that lay behind this particular recording?
No, you really put your finger on some wonderful aspects of what came to us in the production process, and like you're saying, the hope of Christmas morning and. You know, it's so profound. I mean, again, it's in the lyrics, a thrill of hope, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Like the hope of a sunrise in the morning is, and of course, the Lord being that sun that rises and never sets, and just the beauty of a sunrise. And it's all in there. And we felt that the music, and kind of bringing in the strings piece and you put your finger on it, that kind of heartbeat kind of percussion piece in the bottom of that, of the piece. And just so many, it was a wonderful project, to kind of put together and just kind of let the Lord lead it. And, I don't know if you caught it at the very end, the strings do actually a bit of the melody to Joy to the World at the very end. You'll hear listen back, you'll hear that Joy to the World piece. And it's just a wonderful piece of, the song itself just takes care of itself. It was fun to kind of bring our hearts to it.
Well, I can hear that in as you're performing it, and I have to admit that, for a long time I kind of claimed this as my favorite, but then I heard so many other people saying, "Oh yeah, my favorite is O Holy Night." I'm kind of, I don't want to be cliche, I don't want to be trendy, so I'm going to ditch that and find another favorite Christmas tune. But you may have just won me back over. At least it's back up in the top five. I will say that, Luke. Thank you so much.
We
don't have a lot of time left, Luke, but I did want to check in with you. How can people keep up with you and find out more about you and your music, and where can they listen to your music?
Sure, you can listen to my music pretty much any music platform, anything from Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, all those different ways. LukeSpihar.com is my website, and we're always throwing up updates about different things that are coming down the way. We've got some Christmas specials too, in regard to some new mugs, handmade mugs, and different things that we're offering for the Christmas season. And you can also check out if I'm touring through your area on that website. And finally, we recently started a Patreon account, I've been so grateful for the support there. Just if it's something that you feel called to, kind of ongoing support for Catholic artists. Just patreon.com/LukeSpihar is the way you can support us there. So a number of ways. And then if all that fails and you really can't find a way to get a hold of me, just shoot me an email through my website.
There you go.
Get me there. So
Sounds great. Well, Luke, we are so grateful for God giving us you and your talents. And thank you for being on the show today. May you and yours have just a wonder-filled, as you said, Christmas season.
Yeah, it's been an honor to be with you again, Patrick. Thank you so much. And yes, have a wonderful rest of the Advent. And I hope your Christmas is full of sweet memories.
Wonderful. Thank you, Luke. All right. Well, just hopefully your Christmas celebrations will all serve to help you draw closer to the Lord. But right after this brief break that we're about to take, Paul and I will also share some other ideas to keep you growing in your Christmas spirit and in your faith. We'll be right back right after this.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles, we're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app, or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Hey, enhance your Christmas season by listening to uplifting messages of how God is at work in our local church. Head on over to practicingcatholicshow.com for links to all of our podcasted interviews, including the greatest hits of both Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins.
Looking for a faith-filled family outing over Christmas break? Go and see the icon of the conversion of St. Paul, commissioned to portray the meaning and spirit of our archdiocese in partnership with the Maronite Archeparchy of Damascus. The icon will be on display at the University of St. Catherine through December 30th, the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake, January 1st through the 18th, then permanently installed in the Cathedral of St. Paul after January 20th. Visit archspm.org/events to read more about it.
Hey, need a new way to encounter Scripture? Nationally acclaimed performer Frank Runyon brings Scripture to life with drama and humor. Frank will perform the Gospel of Luke, explore the Sermon on the Mount, and speak about Hollywood versus faith on January 5th, 6th, and 7th, respectively, from 7 to 8 p.m. at Immaculate Heart of Mary in Minnetonka. For more information, check out archspm.org/events.
As the season of ordinary time approaches, how can we make our ordinary day-to-day tasks God-filled? Join in No Ordinary Retreat, a three-day event at St. Joseph in Rosemont, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. January 12th, 13th, and 14th. Catholic speaker Pat Millay will encourage and challenge you with ideas on how to ensure ordinary time is filled with our extraordinary God. For all details, visit archspm.org/events.
All are invited to pray for our Archdiocesan Synod in this special way. Each month between now and Pentecost the next year, a different parish in Archdiocese will host a votive Mass of the Holy Spirit and Eucharistic Adoration. Next event will be Adoration at 6:30 p.m. and Mass at 8 p.m. on Friday, January 14th at the Church of St. Stephen in Minneapolis, one of Bishop-elect Williams' parishes. For more information, go to archspm.org/events.
Archbishop Hebda and Father Bloom, Director of Vocations, invite men 16 and older discerning vocations to join them for dinner and a conversation about priesthood and religious life. Monday, January 17th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Archdiocesan Catholic Center. Online registration is required for this Operation Andrew dinner. For more information and to register, visit 10,000vocations.org.
And looking a little further into the month of January, plan now to attend the annual Prayer Service for Life that commemorates the millions of lives lost to abortion and the many women and men wounded by abortion's aftermath. Saturday, January 22nd at 10:30 a.m. at the Cathedral. More information is online at archspm.org/events.
And on behalf of all of us here at Practicing Catholic and at Relevant Radio, may the joy of the newborn King be with you throughout this Christmas season and onward into 2022.
Indeed. Merry Christmas to you, Paul.
And to you, Patrick.
All right. Well, we are so grateful for all that you do and all that our team does and all that you, our listeners, do as well.
It is a great team, indeed.
It is. It is indeed. It's a joy. It's a joy indeed. But we're not going to stop. We've got another show coming up next week. And here's what's in store. The Dobbs versus Jackson case has been in the news recently. What does it mean for the pro-life movement? Jason Adkins breaks it down on Practicing Catholic. In the midst of the Christmas season, we look forward to the joyful feast of the Epiphany, and we'll learn about this holy celebration. And lastly, how are you ringing in the new year? Father John Paul Erickson shares about New Year's resolutions from a Catholic perspective. That's all going on next week. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.